Black heart, gold pants, 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 black podcast.
Greetings and welcome to episode 7 of Black Heart Gold Podcast. This is Hawkeye State coming at you live from the Hawkeye State Mansion. Joined as always by Oops Foul Surprise. Oops, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Special treat tonight for all of our listeners. The one, the only Mark Hasty, blogger emeritus for all of us Iowa people, former proprietor of the Bemusement Park, current member of the gang over at Fan House, and the one, the only, the writer of Picket on the Big Ten. Mark, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
For those of you who don't read Mark, first off, you're missing out. But second, among other things, Mark generally will summarize what he knows about the conference tomato can du jour of the week, of the day of the week, apparently, is the translation of that. Of course, since we're the only non-conference team this week, we are the sole tomato can pummeler.
Yeah, it wasn't a real hard decision to make this week that I was going to talk about.
Yeah, no kidding. So Mark might be the only person on earth who knows anything about Arkansas State.
Well, I would hope that, you know, there's a few people out there that might know about it. I can definitely confirm it is a real school. You know, they're not making it up. It really does exist. You know, you head down Highway 63 heading south, you go about 20 miles into Arkansas from Missouri, and there you are. It's in Jonesboro, a town with, you know, kind of a history about it, and not a very large school. 11,000 students, that make it a little bit smaller than Northern Iowa, you know, down there in the Western Illinois, Indiana State class, but it does have a history of producing a couple of pretty good NFL players. I don't know how old you guys are. I'm in my late 30s. I kind of remember these guys. One would be Maurice Carthon, who was a running back for the New York Giants for late 80s, early 90s. And the other would be Bill Berge, who was a great linebacker for the Steelers in the 70s, or excuse me, for the Eagles in the 70s and the 80s. He went to the Pro Bowl four times, actually. So, you know, this is a school that has had some players in the past, and they were a preseason pick to finish, I believe, second in the Sun Belt this year. You know, how great of a distinction that is, I don't know, but somebody's got to win that conference, and I'm sure there's a lot of good games. In fact, they were just in a very good game last week with Troy. Troy wound up getting them 30-7, which 30-27, which, you know, when you lose by a field goal to just one guy, that's pretty bad. But that was quite a game. And, you know, obviously Iowa was in a pretty good game last week, too. So we're set up for quite a match coming up on Saturday. I don't think there's a whole lot of doubt about how this one's going to turn out, but it could get interesting at times.
Well, I've heard some people refer to it as a prelude to the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's true. There's only a fine line separating the Iowa offense from something like, you know, the New Orleans Saints. But it's a start. And for everybody who's been waiting for Ricky Stanzi to finally get it going, this would be a good week for it because, you know, Arkansas State's pass defense kind of has that Viva El Matador thing going on. They just kind of watch the receivers go by with the ball. They've gotten burned the last 2 weeks by Nebraska and Troy, so this might be a good week for Ricky to come out and have a very good first half of the game to go along with the second half.
I actually had somebody email me part of a copy of their game with Nebraska, and it wasn't pretty. Mostly it was sent to me because at that point we had Arkansas State as, I think, the number 4 team in the country.
That must have been heartbreaking for you guys.
Yes,
you
know, it was finally
had that removed. So now you've gone to LSU, I would assume.
Well, you know, if much like the AP, number 4 is the spot that has the target on its back this year for us.
Exactly.
Whether it be Arkansas State or Air Force.
Sure. Well, just keep putting SEC teams in there, you know. Maybe right. We'll get some of this honor back for the Big Ten yet.
Oh, wait. Hawkeye State, didn't you put Iowa number 4 this week?
We're not going to talk about that.
Okay, never mind.
That didn't happen. I tried to move them to 5. I did everything I could. But
okay, yeah.
So, Mark, I've been paying attention to picking on the Big Ten. I got to ask first and foremost, what happened to the fancy nicknames?
What happened to the fancy nicknames? Well, I've been doing this for 11 years now, which I find really hard to believe. Picking on the Big Ten is so old, it started on Usenet. That's how old it is.
Wow.
And after 11 years, I'm out of ideas. I just can't think of anything else. So, you know, I've already done Morrissey album titles or song titles. You know, I've gone through all the ideas I could possibly come up with, and I'm done. I've used every possible variation of almost as good as we think we are for describing Michigan, and I just don't have anything else. Just don't have anything else left.
That's understandable. That is understandable. I only understood half of them the entire time anyway, so.
Well, yeah, that was the other thing that was concerning me. If it's like, I know what it's like to live in my own head, but I don't think anybody else does, you know? Sometimes I was admittedly being just a little bit too obscure, I think. So I'm kind of glad I ran out of ideas.
Now, Mark, your most recent magnum opus was on the apparent newfound parity between the Big Ten and the MAC.
Right, yes. That was kind of a fun piece to write, even though it did have to bring up some painful memories of that Western Michigan game 2 years ago.
Yes, much like putting Iowa number 4 this week, that never happened. But
I'm always willing to pretend things like that never happened. But
right. However, we can just say that Michigan-Toledo happened twice, and that's fine by us.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine, and you know that's fine. If you want to make that second paragraph appear twice, or that first game appear twice, I'm not going to argue with you.
Well, it's just like the time that Lake the Post said that of the 5 worst Northwestern losses of the last 10 years, the 2000 loss to Iowa was number 1 and number 3.
I must have missed that, but yeah, that would be pretty accurate.
Yeah. So, what is the basic synopsis of your argument on the MAC and the Big Ten essentially being, well, not necessarily equal, but more equal than they've been in the past?
Well, the gap is narrowing. You know, there's no question about that. You just look at the success they've had in recent years with some of these games, and the fact that when Northern Illinois beat Purdue, it really wasn't even news. Because we've just grown accustomed to MAC teams playing very, very hard against the Big Ten. And it's why all along I've really been against being involved in the Big Ten being involved in the Motor City Bowl, or now I guess it's the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl, which sounds like, you know, something on the menu for a limited time only. But, because it's just not a good thing. No Big Ten team wants to go to that bowl game. It's just this short of failure. Really, if you're in the Big Ten, you should not have a bowl tie-in that teams try to avoid getting. You know, a bowl game should be a reward. It should be something that a team looks forward to. And instead, they go to play the second or third best team in the MAC, and the Big Ten team has nothing to win, and the MAC team has nothing to lose. So I suppose the best thing you could say about that, at least, is that the Big Ten's only sent a team to the Motor City Bowl twice. So, you know, we got that going on, but we all know that parity has hit college football, that there's not such a huge difference between one team and another like there used to be, or one conference and another. And the 85 scholarship limit has really affected how Big Ten teams can stockpile talent. You just look around and you see how small the margin of error is for any team in the Big Ten. You know, even Ohio State or Penn State, it was one or two guys. They're in big trouble.
Sure.
So it's gone from the any given Saturday kind of category where at any time a MAC team could just step up and play out of their heads and win, to these games are actually kind of competitive. And you see how that gap is closed. I gave you 5 good examples of games that the MAC can certainly point to and be proud of. In retrospect, I probably should have put Central Michigan over Michigan State a little bit higher on the list than I did, because we all know that Michigan State was widely predicted to do very well in the Big Ten this season, and that was kind of the first sign we had that maybe everything wasn't quite right in East Lansing. So that was a big, big deal as well, although Central Michigan is certainly no slouch.
I'd agree with you on that, except for the fact that the 4 you have above it all kind of, I think, maybe seem more significant. And I think the point there is the fact that Central Michigan isn't really a slouch. I mean, for a couple of years now, everybody's been talking about Dan LeFevre and that team of, you know, maybe if not pulling a Boise and, you know, making a full-fledged run, at least, you know, putting up 10 wins and, you know, sneaking their way into something a little bit bigger than the Motor City Bowl or the Pizza Bowl.
Sure, yeah.
But, you know, I can't fault you for putting it below Western Michigan, Illinois last year, which was fantastic. Oh, yeah, if only for that picture of Zook screaming.
Yes. Yeah. You know, that's been good internet fodder ever since.
Hasn't it? Absolutely. Although really anything that Zook does becomes good internet fodder.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's
it's basically true. The only reason we exist.
Yeah. I've noticed you guys just kind of have this rampant interest in Ron Zook.
Well, he's a fascinating individual.
He is. No question about it. It's
not very often that someone climbs to the top of their profession without ever being any good at it.
You know, that is kind of strange. I was just thinking about that today and thinking, you know, obviously he's got some sort of talent. Everybody knows he's a good recruiter. You know, nobody questions whether or not he can recruit talent. And I guess he was a pretty good defensive coordinator. But it's clear that being a head coach is just not the best use of his skills.
Yeah, I think that's abundantly clear. Although now that his assistants are going on to their own work and punching their own assistants in the face, I guess.
That was
he imparts values at the very least.
Yeah, it's not often that I'm dumbstruck by stuff, but when I heard about what Loxley did, yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You know what was worse though is Loxley's not going to get fired over this. Like he basically just apologized and. That's it, for assaulting his own coach.
Yeah, you wonder if this had happened someplace outside of the WAC, or Mountain West. Which conference are they in, even? I don't even remember.
I think they're
Mountain
WAC.
West, aren't they? Okay.
They're one or the
other.
They're in the Big Sand, I think.
Anyway, if it had happened outside of, you know, either of those conferences, it would be a much bigger deal than it is. You know, if he had been the head coach at Illinois... with the Chicago media and how much they love to chew up coaches in their sphere, they really would have gone after him.
Now, Mark, longtime readers know that you're not just a fan of the Hawkeyes or just the Big Ten, but you're a true-blooded Iowan, only, you know, stuck to the North.
That's true.
What do you think of the Cyclones so far this year?
What I think of the Cyclones so far this year? It's kind of funny. The first six football games, college football games I ever went to, were at Iowa State. My dad was in the circulation department at the Des Moines Register back in the early 80s, and he won a contest once, and we got free season tickets for the whole family to Iowa State. And I've got a piece coming out, I believe it's going to be published tomorrow, in which I describe, part of it is I describe what that experience is like, and I don't want to ruin it now, except that I will. And the line that I used is that I discovered that following Iowa State football will do to your soul what licking the floor of a slaughterhouse will do to your digestive system. You know, that was my experience of Iowa State football in the Jim Kreiner era, and I tried. So you know, I've got kind of a special relationship with the Cyclones because we go way back, and also. Most of my family who went to college went to Iowa State. So, of course, every time I'm home for family reunions, I hear about it. I don't know.
Anything good, at least.
Yeah. So far this season, you know, they've done about what you would expect them to do. They've beaten the teams you would expect them to beat, and it'll be interesting to see what it's going to be like now that the conference play starts. They're still a couple of years away, I think, from being able to challenge for a bowl, but I think the Big 12 North can still be had by a team that's, you know, willing to come up and push a little bit harder than everybody else. But that window is closing because Bo Pelini is going to get Nebraska back to where they were.
Yeah, I have fear that you're right on that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm still mad that there's not an Iowa-Nebraska game every year.
No kidding.
There really should be.
There ought to be. That should be just one of those things that you can count on.
Well, I'm originally from outside of Omaha, and there was never really any sort of palpable hatred for Iowa until about 2003.
Yeah, yeah.
When they started fading a little bit and we got good, and suddenly now their fans are just as interested in seeing us as we are them.
Exactly, yeah. They want to push, and of course Missouri is just too chickenish to play us. So. So if we want another border rival, we got to go with Nebraska. Or, I suppose, South Dakota State. But I don't think anybody wants to see that.
Right. Hawkeye State, I like that you won't even call it Council Bluffs. You'll say outside of Omaha.
Damn right. Damn right. Yeah, I refuse to acknowledge the existence of Council Bluffs.
Okay.
By the way, this clip will forever end my political career as mayor of Council Bluffs.
You're on the fast track, too.
Yeah, that's right. This will come like out of the day before the election.
Right.
So Mark, what do you think of the Hawks so far this year? More importantly, what do you think of the Bologna news today?
Well, I was happy to hear that he's been cleared. I wasn't able to hear what was wrong with him.
Apparently, it was some sort of thyroid disorder.
And oh, that's nasty stuff.
Thyroid.
Yeah, and they've decided, I guess, now that they don't need to do any sort of long-term treatment, but they've got him basically stabilized to the point where he can play.
That's good. That's really good. What do I think of Iowa so far this year? Well, obviously, I'm pleased. You know, anytime you start off 4-0 and you go to Happy Valley and you smack Penn State in the mouth, as used to that as we are, it's always a good thing. But I've really been impressed with the way the team has played through those four games, even with, you know, some obvious questions on offense. You know, I think it was last week I wrote that Ricky Stanzi plays like Peyton Manning in the second half of the game, but like Ryan Leaf in the first half. And once he gets that taken care of, I think, you know, things are going to turn around a little bit in terms of being able to get a few more points on the board. But obviously the defense is just playing out of its head so far. I haven't checked any recent statistics, but if Iowa doesn't have the best pass defense in the Big Ten, you know, it's got to be close. Got to be very, very close.
They are number one. Yeah.
They are number one in the Big Ten?
Yeah.
Well, they should be. They should be. Because to be honest, it's one of the best pass defenses I've ever seen on any Big Ten team. They are just unbelievable. And I know everybody's throwing the credit to the linebackers and the defensive line, and they deserve credit, but I don't feel like the secondary is getting enough love.
I'd agree.
I feel like people are not really talking as much as they should be about how good the secondary is playing.
Yeah.
Well, there's really no weak link on this defense anymore. I mean, I guess if you put a gun to someone's head, I don't know why you would do this over football, but if you put a gun to someone's head, they might say either Greenwood or Prater, but they play great against Penn State, too.
Yeah, I don't think you can say either of those guys has not been good. This is a case where being the weak link just means you're the least good of the 11 guys that are starting.
Right.
And when you look at some of the guys that are on the bench, you know, there's a lot of talent that's coming in relief as well. You know, you got great players like Jeff Tarpinian in particular, who I've been very impressed with this year in the action that he's seen.
Absolutely. I thought Tarpinian played just a spectacular game against Iowa State. They mm-hmm. ran that kind of oddball 3-4 nickel package to try to confuse Arnaud, and Tarpinian was in every passing lane the whole day.
It's true. Yeah, he was getting his hand on the ball all the time, and I just like the way he plays, and I'd like to see more from him. But I know it's kind of a crowded field there in linebacker because you've already got three great starters.
Right.
So it's kind of an embarrassment of riches, I guess.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't move Tarpinian into the middle when Coleman transferred out. But I guess I can kind of see why. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he necessarily has the size or the build that they want for that spot.
That could be. And, you know, Jeremiah Hunter's played very well. So.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. Is I think if you're going to try to find Tarpinian a spot where he can play consistent minutes, it probably won't be until next season. And then it's going to have to be either Eads or Enger's spot. And, you know, with Nielsen already in place to take over Eads' spot, basically that only leaves middle open.
Right.
And maybe they wait on that move and see what happens next year, I guess.
I guess he'll be a senior next year. I'd hate to think that he never really got a chance to start because he's really good.
Well, and he was in line beginning of last season to be the starter and then mm-hmm. got injured in August, and Hunter's been there ever since.
Right, yeah.
Tarpinian's an Omaha kid, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's from just outside Council Bluffs.
Mm-hmm.
Damage control there, Mayor?
Yes, that's it. That's right. And I'm going to build another casino. We'll be okay. Don't mind me. So, Stanzi's been iffy, but what do you think of the running game so far? It seems to me that this is the first time that I can remember since the days of Freddie Russell and Jermell that we really had kind of a two-headed monster running back, and it seemed to work.
Yeah, and it seems like it's working really well because you've got a fresh guy coming in all the time, and you know they're not exactly the same running back, although they both have that same kind of power-rushing mentality, and they're not afraid to stay between the tackles. Which is always, you know, there's a lot of running backs who won't do that. So that's very good. I've been impressed with both Robinson and Wager so far. And, you know, I obviously was worried when Jewel Hampton went down, and I thought, oh boy, it's going to be a long season.
Oh, yeah.
But so far, I don't think we have a lot to complain about in terms of the running game. And obviously a lot of the credit for that goes to the offensive line as well.
Sure.
Because as dinged up as they've been, and as much as they've had to rotate people and shuffle them around, you know, they've still been able to open up some holes, open up some lanes, and get some yards for those running backs.
Well, the way that they bled the clock in the fourth quarter against Penn State was probably the most impressive thing they've done since the first quarter of the last week's or last year's Penn State game.
I know. I almost felt sorry for Penn State just watching, because there was nothing they could do.
No, it was abundantly clear by that point that the game was over and it was only a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, being the only person that we know who knows anything about Arkansas State, other than the fact that it's in Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
What's your prediction for this week?
I'd love to give you one of those old school Hayden Fry beatdown type predictions of like 63-7, but I don't know that they really want to score that many points. I know it sounds sort of strange, and they'll take whatever they can get from the defense. I'm guessing, though, that if it's not a shutout, they're going to hold Arkansas State under 10.
Yeah.
And in terms of how many points they're going to score, I would say, you know, mid to upper 30s at least. But that could just be, you know, optimistic and guessing that Ricky Stanzi has a pretty good day against a pretty bad Arkansas State pass defense. So I haven't started writing the predictions for this week. I usually don't do that until Wednesday night. Maybe between now and then something will come to me that will change my mind. But I would guess right now, I would guess, you know, 35 to 38 to 10, maybe 13.
Ooh. Think they're going to get in the end zone?
I hope not.
That's going to be – no, it's going to be four field goals and an extra point.
Oh,
four field goals and an extra point, yeah.
Yeah. That's how we get there.
Five safeties and a field goal will do it, too.
But, yeah, exactly.
If we give up five safeties to Arkansas State, something has gone horribly and awfully wrong.
If we give up five safeties to the Oakland Raiders, things have gone horribly.
Exactly, yeah. It would be about the same thing.
Yeah.
Give up five safeties to Arkansas State, and, you know, come Sunday afternoon, you're not going to be able to buy a TV anywhere in Iowa because everybody will be replacing the ones they shot during the game.
We could just give them the safeties like we did in the 6-4 game.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter,
just start running out of the back of the end zone. Taking it back to him.
Doing it again.
Yep. He doesn't want to keep his defense or his offense out there any longer. John Winkie runs through the back of the end zone one more time.
So I'm just curious, how do you guys think the rest of the season is going to go for the Hawkeyes?
Oh.
Trying to stay rational right now is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
My point of view is, it's been this way all along, was if we could get a split out of the road non-conference or the road conference games, sweep the conference schedule, hold serve at home, and get 10 wins, it was a damn good year. And I'm still holding to that now. A trip to Camp Randall is always still a trip to Camp Randall, and I refuse to believe that that's a gimme regardless of what we did last week.
Well, you know, Wisconsin is a lot better than people are giving them a credit for being as well. I mean, you should be concerned about Scott Tolzien because he is really playing well right now at that quarterback position. He's very good.
Yeah, they looked really good last week. I watched a decent chunk of that game for financial interest, and they looked about as good as they've looked under Bielema. And that worries me a little bit. I don't worry about Michigan State nearly so much anymore because I think the wheels are slowly coming off that bandwagon.
You really had hoped that D'Antonio would be able to get Sparty to stop being Sparty, but it looks like that's still a couple of years off.
Hey, you can take the John L. Smith out of Michigan State.
Yeah, but it goes deeper than that.
Yeah, but you can't take the Michigan State out of John L. Smith.
Wait, that doesn't make sense.
Yes, that makes no sense at all. But still, you know what I mean. But
Okay. Here we go.
All right.
You can lead the Michigan State away from John L. Smith, but you can't make them think. Huh?
Oh, good one.
Oh,
good one.
Wow. That's impressive. Anyway, I still see it as 10-2 as a high end baseline, but.
Yeah.
If they go up, this is kind of how I felt about 0-2 though too. You know, if they go up to Camp Randall and win convincingly, then it's high noon in Columbus and you get a decent chance at 11-1.
When I do my preseason predictions, you know, the kind of preview column that I do every year. I go through and predict every game. You know, not a score, but in terms of who I think is going to win. And obviously, knowing nothing about injuries, knowing nothing about how teams are going to turn out over the course of the year, I predicted 10-2 for Iowa this year, with losing at Ohio State and Michigan State. I don't think they're going to lose at Michigan State anymore, but I could see them losing at Camp Randall.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could also theoretically see, dare I say, Michigan or Northwestern catching them sleeping at Kinnick, too. I don't think that running the table at home is necessarily a given. I think it's about, you know, if I had to put numbers to it, maybe 70-80% probable or whatever. Like, it would be an upset if Michigan or Northwestern won, but it wouldn't be unheard of.
No, it wouldn't be unheard of. I think Michigan has a lot of work to do on defense before they can get back up to that 9-win kind of area. I think they're sort of a 7-8-win team at this point because, you know, they just don't seem to have a whole lot on defense right now. Northwestern, I'm kind of disappointed in Northwestern this year. I thought they were going to be better than this, to be honest.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But Kafka's pretty good. He's playing better than you thought he would, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I saw the Northwestern-Minnesota game last year where he just, you know, ran wild all over the Minnesota defense. And so I knew he could play. But I'm just kind of surprised that, you know, they lost to Syracuse. And they really struggled with Eastern Michigan, although Eastern Michigan is a lot better than Eastern Michigan traditionally has been. I was expecting Northwestern to be 3-1 or maybe even 4-0 at this point instead of 2-2.
Sure. I think the chances of Iowa getting caught flat-footed against Michigan, given the homecoming night game, primetime, everything else goes with it, are pretty slim, but...
Yeah, they'll be up for that game.
Yeah, I think so, and especially since they haven't seen Michigan in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about Forsyth's shoulder. Yeah, they're probably not going to lose to Michigan.
But I completely agree that to basically just assume that we're going to run the table at home is, I think, asking a bit much. Northwestern's a game that could be really sneaky, especially if they roll through everybody to that point, and you start getting the look ahead to Columbus, then I could see them definitely getting caught by somebody.
But that's the value of that horrible week one game with Northern Iowa.
Yeah.
True. Very
because
true.
Now they know they're not quite good enough to look past anybody. If Northern Iowa almost got you, who else is going to do it?
Right. No, I think that's absolutely true. Although Northern Iowa is about twice as good as Northwestern if you ask Jeff Sagarin.
Yeah,
Northern Iowa is ranked in the top 50 in the Sagarin poll, and his is supposed to be all, if you take and add plus or minus 3 points, depending on the home field advantage, you can basically work out the schedule, and Northern Iowa would be about 5-7 on Iowa's schedule this year, according to him. But, I agree with you. The Northern Iowa game, I think, woke him up more than – usually it's the Iowa State game that does that, so I'm just kind of happy that we got it done a week early.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mark, I think we've kept you long enough tonight. We appreciate you coming on. And
hey, no problem. I got to admit, I've never done a podcast before. This was pretty fun.
Oh, really?
Nice work.
Well,
thank you.
Well, welcome to podcast internet.
Yes.
All right.
It's like radio, only, you know, digital and stuff.
Sure.
And 10 people listen to it.
Right, yeah. And both of our fans will be excited to hear you.
Okay, good. It's just like when I was a college DJ, and the only person that listened to was my dad. And that was only after somebody sent him the tapes.
Well, thanks again, Mark. And we'll remind our readers to catch Mark over at AOL Fan House.
You bet. Picking on the Big Ten shows up every Thursday at some point.
Great. Thanks again.
You bet.